Okay, so Aleph. Kol she'asar biato b'torah, v'chayav al biato karet, v'hein ha'amurat b'parshat achrimot, hein ha'nikrein arayot. V'kol achat me nikreit erva, kagon aim v'achot ubat v'chayot ben. Right. So anyone who's sleeping with them is the punishment is karet, who's listed in achrimot. They are called the Arayot, right, a single one being in Erva, like mother, like a daughter, and the like. Right now, the interesting thing, just right very briefly, is just that even though they each have their own Isurim, there does seem to be a certain conceptual link between them. Now there is one questionable case here, right? What's the one which is not clear that it's in Erva for all intents and purposes, right? Which definitely has an Isur Karet, but it's not clear that it's in Erva. The Nida, right? Because right, Anida, obviously the Bia with her is a Karet, but as a person, right? She's not a right. It's a status that you have, which is why it's not totally clear that it has the status of Erva. It's included in the Arayot, and but there's a machloket rishonim among this, so there are different test cases like Yehargvel Yavor, right? Would sleeping with a nida be one of the big three? Because it's right, it's a isur bia, which is an isur karet, right? But anyways, but yeah. So no, but the nida thing, just right, again, that is a classic question, and the major nafkamina, the easiest nafkamina, is that Yehargvel Yavor question. Or the Grizz, for example, assumes that at Uval Karchach, Dinida shiny b'ikar dina mishariyot v'chavei lavin, that she's different. Mishum Dinida lo rak the tavsi b'kiddushin, right? The proof is that, yes, there's insakari, but kiddushin works with her, right? Rak gam b'ikar isurav etzem hachevtza shala lo dam yilashariyot v'chavei lavin. And she's not, right, her body, she's not actually nerva, she's a likuchan misuin. And therefore, it's not really connected to marriage. Rak hamasa bia b'shatas, or it's the act of bia. No, again, not everyone agrees with this. Shulchan Aruch seems to not agree with this, because Shulchan Aruch thinks that both he thinks that Nida is an Erva, and he thinks like the Rambam, that Kirva l'Erva is Yehark v'al Yavor, and he thinks like the Ran, sorry, is Daraita, and like the Ran, that Abu Zrayhu is Daraita, and therefore he thinks if someone's wife is sick, he can't help her, but is like derivatives, right? And therefore he thinks that if a man's wife is sick, then you can't, you can't help during Nida, you can't help her, you can't take her pulse, even if she'll die. Right? That's Nifsak and Shulchan Aruch, which takes a lot of assumptions. Yeah, he thinks Zihar Vayavar. Yes, I know, it's very surprising. It is, but it's what Shulchan Aruch says, which again assumes three things. One is that Nida is an Erva, B is that Kirva Larayot is also Isser Doraita, like the Rambam, right? Things short of intercourse, and then the Ram, that these derivatives of the big three are also part of the big three. Again, you can reject many of the assumptions, but it's just, right, you see that it actually, this question can matter theoretically a lot. It can matter a lot. I guess that's the nice way of saying it.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the context of the Arayot, it is worth noting that there is there's Machlok Rishonim, whether the Arayot are meant to be understood or not. Because in general we have two categories. We have chukim and we have mishpatim. Even in the Chazal, there seems to be a machloket on this point. So these are the arayot, but don't expect them all necessarily to make sense, right? So if you look, for example, in the Sifra, right, the Sifra says, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer, minayin shelo yomar adam yeshi lo bo shatneis. How do you know that this person shouldn't say, I don't want to wear shatneis, yef shelo chel bazar chazir, I don't want to eat non-kosher meat. If she shalovo el erva, I don't want to be with the erva. What you should say is aval if she, I want to. Uma es ebo what should do? Va'avi shabashamayim gazar leikach. God said, don't do it. Talmud lomar va'avdil lecham min ha'amim liotli nimsa paresh min ha'avira. Mekabal avol mochot shamayim. By separating, you're accepting God. Now the Rambam, right, has a comment on this, and he says that, I don't understand. The philosophers say it's better to not want to do something bad than to want to do it and have to conquer it. Because if you don't want to do something bad, that shows you're a perfected personality. If you want to do something bad and you just hold yourself back, you held yourself back, you're not a perfected personality. But this midrash seems to say that you should specifically not want to be a perfected personality. You should want to violate it. So the Rambam says, no, it depends. If something is a logical issur, like you don't want someone to say, I wish I could steal, but I'm holding myself back, because why are you that type of person? You don't want someone to say, I wish I could kill. But you're a murderous personality and you just have self-control, you're a bad person. But like, but the chukim, the things that don't make sense, so what's wrong with a person wanting to eat pig, right? There's nothing morally wrong with it, right? But this midrash includes arayot, which implies that the Rambam's analysis is right, and the arayot are chukim. Right. On the other hand, in other ones, the Gemara explicitly says the arayot are mishpatim. Right. So, like the Gemara in Yoma includes it with avodah zarah, gilurat shel chadamim, ugezel, berachat Hashem. All those are in chukim, or sorry, mishpatim. Whereas, like shatnez is a chok. So, even within Chazal, there's a contradiction. Are the arayot understood to be chukim or mishpatim, or maybe even something in between? So, if you don't understand the rationale of a chok, that's not of an erva. It's not crazy. I mean, half the Rishonim. What do you mean? If it's a chok, so what are you asking me? Again, if it's a chok, if there's a chok, there's no either no reason or no reason that's humanly accessible, right? What do you mean? There's such an idea of a chok, right? If it's a mishpat, right? Even the other end's a mishpat, so then you have to find a reason, right? And then, you know, Rav Salmon has an excellent article where he points out the arayot might be a middle category, right? Where they're not really chok and they're not really mishpat, right? Meaning, there are very few people in the world who think that that all the arayot, writ large, make no sense. Right? There are very few people who are like, I don't understand why you can't be with your mother, your sister, your daughter, or whatever. They don't. Like, there's an intuition that it makes sense. Even though when it comes down, like your case, the details, sometimes it'll be like, well, okay, like, let's say I think that the reason, like, give one possible explanation, and I'm putting myself behind, but let's say you would say the reason that there's the sum of the arayot, at least, is so that there is a space in everyone's life that is desexualized, right? That, like, if you could be with your mother, your sister, your daughter, right, then the nuclear family would be, right? Yeah. Then that would create like that would be that every space, including the family unit, would be sexualized by putting those people off limits. Right? You create a non-sexualized space. Right? I'm not committing this. I'm saying let's say you would say that. So then your question would come up and say, okay, but what about a adopted sister? Right? Because adopted sisters, cool, you can marry because they're not your sister at all. But they grew up with you, Kasha. Right? So Rav Samit's point is that it could be that arayot are in the middle. Like, someone could say, listen, big gadol, it makes sense. Are there going to be exceptions? There are exceptions, but that doesn't mean that it's not a binary. It's not like I can find an exception that doesn't fit the reason of the rule. It would be like saying Shabbat is a day of rest. That's pretty clear. Right? And, you know, it's zecher letziat, you know, and it's zecher briyat olam. Right? So what if for somebody, they could either walk 4 miles to shul and they don't find it inspiring, right? Or they could, I don't know, recreate the Briyat Ha'olam, right, by building a model that will take them 5 minutes. Very restful, but then they will have a thing that reminds them of days. They'll be like, aha, right, that, we understand it's not true. That doesn't change the fact that it's Zecher, right, that it's meant to commemorate the God's resting. Like, just because something is a mishpah doesn't mean that there aren't cases where you could look at it and say, oh, it doesn't really. And now you could say that's not that type of rest, and obviously there are reasons. But my point is that not everything, just because it's a right mishpat, means there isn't the place at which you say, but I could, you know, I could fetch a different explanation. So he argues that a riot, particularly like this, where people in general, like all cultures, have some sort of, you know, a riot. They might draw the lines in slightly different places. That's why he argues that it's somewhere in between. But I don't. You know, I don't think you should expect. And again, this is in Machlokes. Let me show him.
It's just that, like, if I would ask anyone, like, why, like if I were to pick anyone and just like, and ask them, can I be with my sister? And if so, why not? They'll say, oh, because it's weird. And like looking at the Torah, why can't you be with your sister? Oh, she's your sister, so you can't.
Again, you could just say it's a chok. I'm saying there are definitely sources that say just a chok.
Just like reword the question.
Okay, but on the one hand, you could just say it's a chok. On the other hand, you could say, no, they're all, you know, the fact that all cultures have that sense means that it's not completely a chok. It's not something that, well, God just said and we can't understand it. Again, I think there's something to the fact that there's a value to having a non-sexualized space, right? But there's, you know, and other things, right? There, obviously, you know, right, I mean, the same reason that people will say, well, there's also genetic components, which there are, right? That the closer you are with the relatives, the more dangerous it is to have children with that. And you'll say, okay, well, that's an explanation to not, you know, have children with them, not necessarily to not have a one-night stand with birth control. And like, I get it. I understand. The point is, you could come, that doesn't mean it's a hoax. Just because you could explain why it doesn't have to be absolute and why there are exceptions and why do you draw the line here and what about cousins? Cousins are also dangerous, but not as dangerous, right? I get it. I understand. In some cultures, yes. In some cultures, yes, but not in most, it seems. So there has been some research. If I remember correctly, Professor Steiner has an article on this, that the Torah doesn't claim this is what all nations in the world did. It claimed that Mitzrayim and Canaan did it, and it happens to be that we have evidence that specifically in Canaan and Mitzrayim, especially in the royal cultures, this was part of the culture, right? Because of like these strong, you know, like even now the way that like royal families, they're all cousins with everybody because, you know, you have to keep it within the family. But then it was apparently more even sisters and things like that. So there was, there does seem to be some evidence, at least in certain royal cultures in the ancient Near East, around Canaan and Egypt, there were actually cultures where this is much more normal. But whether it was normal in general for everybody in all cultures, probably not. And most cultures seem to have some sort of a riot system. Okay, but then in Vav, you get a much longer list. So there are the biblical arayot, and then there are what's the rabbinic ones, which are much more expanded. They are rabbinic. These are the secondary ones. They are the second to the arayot. Probably not. I mean, the gears I have is Kabbalah. You have Divrei Sofrim. Oh, that. Yeah, I don't know if there really is. You know, I don't know how much there's a right now, the Lecha Mishnah asked your question at some level, which is Heichi Kamar Mipia Kabbalah came into Elam Mishum Gzeira Daria. Why would you call it Kabbalah, which implies it's like Halacha Moshe Sinai or something, when it's Derabbanan? And he says V'nira Mishum Da Amru BeGemara Parakeitzad Remez L'Shinot Min HaTorah Minayim Shenamar Kid Kol Tovavo Te'el Kasha Mikal Di Karachot. Right, the Gemara in Yevamot says that it's, where is there a hint to it? So it says, right, that these are Kashot. Right, Ha'el is understood as kashot, which implies there are soft arayot. So he's saying there's an asmacht, Odom Rishon, the Shlomo Gazar, or maybe it's from Shlomo. Right, some of them are from Shlomo, so we call it Kabbalah. It's like an early, you know, it's before really the rabbinic period. It might not be biblical, but it's, right, so he assumes that, yeah, maybe it's either as a hint in the Torah. Now remember, in general, when something has an asmacht in the Torah, so some of the Rishon and most of the Rishon think that it's just like a mnemonic. It's a hint or it's a poetic license or something like that. But certain Rishonim, like the Ritva, think that if something has an asmachta, it's like a quasi-doraita, that it means that God programmed in an option into the Torah, but didn't obligate you in it. Now, interestingly, right, the Ramban in the Shorashim, right, the Rambam famously won't count any Darabanans as one of the Taryag, but the Bahag will. And one of the questions is about the Shniyot Araya, right, which is, you know, if you're already going to count Darabanan, you should count all the Shniyot L'Arayot. But there is an obvious distinction, is that it could be that certain mitzvot Darabanan are, like, granted intrinsic value, whereas, you know, some of the Lavim are clearly are more protective, and, like, all the Shniyot L'Arayot seem to be more of that, you know, that category. Now, we'll... Now, the Yad Pshuta takes this up also, right? He says that Re'ei b'hakdama l'mishnah Torah, Shemazbir Rabbeinu Shechachme Kol Dor Kiblu Mikat Kadmeyem. He thinks the Kiblu is that everyone accepted it from those before them. Kol mashalamdu mitar shabal peh. V'zeh kolel nosaf al perusha mekubalim b'torah. That they accepted it in addition to the interpretation of the Torah shebichtav. Shehem dvarim shegazru chachamim neviyim shebicholdor avador lasot siag l'torah. Kemo sheshamu Moshe b'ferush yishmartim v'mishmarti. Shnamar asu mishmar l'shmarti. And that's quoted in the Gemara. Right, so it says it could be that Kabbalah is to say that it was, right, not necessarily that it's from the Torah, but that it's like an early generation, right, or something like that, right, meaning it's Mikubal, or something like that. Again, you know, Lav Dafka. The Kesemation also bothers this. Sure, everyone asked this. Kashali, Shaloshim Kabbalah, Nofal Davar Mikubal, Moshe Rabbeinu, Unum Yod Gimel Midot, Ach Sheisr Shinu Migzer Chachamim, Kedibarak Sheini, Lo Yitzak Lomar Shem Kabbalah, right, he just leaves it as a question, doesn't answer it. Again, do you think that maybe he thinks that this isn't a pure Darabana and it has some resonance in the Torah? It captures some Doraita ideas? Maybe, right? Maybe that's what it is. So, v'hei nekret shniyot, v'nei shin shniyot l'arayot, v'kol achar v'hei nekret shniyot, v'esrim isha hein. There are 20 of these Darabana heins. V'elu hein. Aleph emimo, your maternal grandmother. V'zu ein lehefsek, and this goes forever. Now, it's worth noting that there is, meaning grandmother, great grandmother, great great grandmother, great 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 grandmother, great 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 grandmother, assuming that they're alive, but you know, in principle. Alafilu aim emo, ad mala me asar, ad mala mala asura. Bet. Ve aim avi emo bilvad. So your father's mother, grandmother only, but not great grandmother. The aim aviv, your father's mother. Wait, no, your father's, your mother's father's mother. Your, wait, number two is your mother's father's mother. Right, only so that's great grandmother, great yeah. The vav or halacha vav gimel is aim aviv is your father's mother, right? So the second one is your mother's father's. Your mother's father's, no. Your mother, then her father, then his mother. There we go. The third one is Aim Aviv is your father's mother. V'zu Ein Lahefsek. So that, again, goes forever. Ella Aim Aviv Ad Lamala Asura. Dalid, V'Aim Aviv Bilvad. Your father's father's mother alone, but not going farther back. Hey is V'Eshet Aviv, your potentially step-grandmother. Right, meaning your grandmother or step grandmother, v'zein lahevsek, a few of eshet Yaakov avinu asura alechad mimenu, and therefore even if Yaakov avinu's wife would be asur to us, v'eshet avi imo bilvad, your the wife of your mother's father. There we go. Only these are the worst. V'eshet achi ha'av min ha'em, on your mother's side, it's the wife of your mother's father's brother, it's a great aunt, ve'eshet achi ha'em, right, the wife of the brother of your mother, so aunt, bein min ha'em, bein min av, ve'kalat bino, right, your son's daughter-in-law, ve'zeh ein lahefsek, and that forever, v'afilo kalat ben bino atzov ha'olam asura, ad shite eshet echad menu shnia al Yaakov avinu. The tenth, v'yod, is kalat bito bilvad, your daughter's daughter-in-law. Yud alev ubat bat bino bilvad, your the son's daughter's daughter alone. Yud bet is bat ben bino bilvad, your son's daughter alone. Ubat bat bito bilvad, your daughter's daughter's daughter. Ubat ben bito bilvad, your daughter's son's daughter. Tedvav, ubat ben ishto bilvad, your wife's son's daughter alone. Ubat tedzain is ubat bat ishto bilvad, your wife's daughter's daughter, and not beyond that. Ve'aim avi ishto bilvad, your father's wife's mother's mother alone. Yurched, ve'aim ishto bilvad, your wife's mother's mother's mother. Yutet ve'aim aim av aim ishto bilvad, your wife's mother's father's mother. And Chaf is Ve'em Av Avi Ishto Bilvad, your wife's father's father's mother. Nimtu Hashem She'en Lehefzik Arba. There are only four that go back forever, which is Eim Ha'em Ad Lamala, your grandmother, on your mother's side. Ve'em Ha'av Ad Lamala, and your grandmother on your father's side. Ve'eshet Avi Ha'av Ad Lamala, your father's father's wife forever. Ve'eshet Ben Beno Ad Lamata, and your son's sons, wives, forever. No, I cannot. It is worth noting that if you read the relevant siman in the Torah to get a summary, you will see that many of these are subject to machloket rishonim. Right. So I mean, even if you look at the Magid Mishnah here, but you'll get it la halacha there. Right? He says the Magid Mishnah says that the Rambam seems to think that bat Ben Bino Bilvad, your son's daughter, and it ends and it stops. But he notes in the Gemara that's a Bayadil Ifshita, that that's a suffix in the Gemara, whether that goes forever. And the Ramban disagrees, and he says that this case, like daughters in law, keep going forever, right? So that's so many of these have a machloket, Rishonim, whether, and then there's a further machloket about the wife of your father-in-law, right? So Magid Mishnah says that the Bavli says that it's mutter. The Yerushalmi says it's usher. Mishum mar da ayin. The Rambam doesn't mention it, which implies that it's mutter. The Ramban says it's mutter, right? So there are some of these that are unclear, right? How we paskin on them, and if you want, we can spend forever on it, or we can.
Sure what to make of this.
I mean, it's a list of the Araya. These are important to.
Is there any reason that some of them are Bilvad and some of them are like
going? Yeah, I mean, some.
Like
some of it might be philosophical, right? Some of it might be that, like, you know, that the direct lines, you know, mothers and daughters and sons and whatever are considered closer relationship. Right, but like, yeah, I don't have a very worked out theory of why it is that some of these are and some of these aren't. I mean, you know, you could try to figure it out. But as I said, some of these, right, four of them are, but as I said, some of these are machloket and some of these are, I don't have like a, you know, brilliant worked out theory of why this is. And he said, and then there are these Shrei Lavin. Right, these are pretty simple, which are the things that are asur midaraita but don't carry karet. Right, so kol she'asur b'yato minatar v'lo chai v'lov karet, heina nikrein isurei lavin. Those are just called lavin. V'o nikrein isurei kedusha, and then there are the isurei kedusha. V'tishahim, there are nine. V'elohim, amon alokoin gadol. Right, now the Gemara, right, a grusha, right, so a widow to a kohen gadol, grusha ozona ochalala bein the kohen gadol bein kohen hediot. So a divorcee, a woman who slept with someone forbidden or ochalala, right, someone who's the product of a forbidden union to a kohen, umamzeret leven Yisrael, and a mamzeret, v'chein bat Yisrael amamzer, or a bat Yisrael to a male mamzer, ubat Yisrael amoni moavi, the limitations on, you know, amon and moav, ubat Yisrael to a daka, kuchavchan, the prohibitions of people who have mutilated different parts of the genitalia, ugrushato, achar shenizet lacher, right, and machzer grushato, which we talked about already, right, that someone's wife, he gets divorced, and then she remarries, or whatever, she's asur v'yavama shenizet lazar, and a yavama, who married a non-brother, right? That Vadain Rishud Ayavam Allah, while she still has the relationship with the Yavam. And a Chalutza Arik Grusha, right? So someone who's gone through Chalitza is Asher to Kohen, like a Grusha, but only he has Surah Lakoim Devere Sefram, that's only Durabanan. Vanitinim, and the people descended from Givon are in Kamamzerim, or like Mamzerim, Echad Zacharim, Vechad Ginekevot, Visurim, Midere Sofrim, Valachor Isure, Bia Yidbar Lacha Mahim, Hanitinim. Now the Gemara, I'll just notes what is an Isser Kedusha and what is an Isser, right? What do we call an Isser Kedusha? So the Gemara has one possibility that it's the Yisurei Kahuna, right? Because they are, because the Kohanim have to be Kadosh, right? And that's why those are called Yisurei Kedusha, because of the added Kedusha. However, the Gemara has a different sheet there that it could be that, no, Dafka the Yisur Lavin are called Yisur Kedusha, because Yisrael is Kodosh. But yeah. But there's the Yisurei Lavin and there's the Yisurei Kedusha. And then Chet, there's just the Yisurei Asei, the Eshbi, Sheshbi, Zanbase, and those that only have a positive commandment, meaning, right, it's a failure. And Ve'enan Michai Ve'lavin, you don't get Malkut because it's not a prohibition. Ushloshen, there are three. Mitzri Vadomi Dorishan Dorsheni, right? So a convert from Mitzrayim and Edom, you can only marry after three generations. So the first two generations, it's Asei, because it doesn't say don't marry them. It said only marry them in the third generation. Right, a woman who's already had intercourse to a Kohen Gadol, because the pasuk says he has to marry a bitula. It doesn't say don't marry them. It says marry the third. Right. So here, right, really, the Rambam is just listing them. Now, there are some questions in the Mefarshim. Why do we don't count others, like marrying a non-Jew? And he says that's not an issue. That's not... Now, the interesting thing, he says, well, that's not different. We're talking about Jews. But that does imply that the Arayot and the Yisurei Lav and Yisurei Kedusha, even though they're not all the same, they're still part of a Parsha in the way like marrying a non-Jew is not. Right? Which is interesting conceptually. Because you might have thought the Arayot are one thing, the Yisurei Lav are one thing, the Yisurei Asei are another thing. The categorization, the Rambam, that there are still forbidden sexual unions that aren't included here implies that these are still somewhat conceptually connected. Right? They're not completely different, which I guess is, you know, interesting to note, but I don't know if there's much more to it than what we just said. Say it again?
Would these things all be in the category of Kedushin?
Meaning, so the Yisurei Karet Kedushin is in Chal, as we'll see. All the others, Kedushin is Chal, with the possible exception of the Yavam case. Correct. Right, and that may be part of it, right? Is that the people to whom marriage kedushin apply, so it's right. So even if they're an erva, there's a law, there's an asay, it's still some sort of corruption of kedushin, whereas marrying a non-Jew is a different type of thing because they're not in the parsha of kedushin. It's a categorically different thing, right? I think that is part of it. Okay, but that's Perek Aleph anyways. We finished Perek Aleph, look at that.